Hey, Preppers and Patriots. Today's Faith and Freedom message is by Pastor Mike Spaulding of Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio. To hear more from Pastor Mike, check out his podcast at SoaringEagleRadio.com. And stay tuned after the message for more information about Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio, and the Transforming Word Radio Ministry. Enjoy the show.
If God expected us to do everything perfectly without stumbling, we would all be toast. Who among us would be able to stand before a holy and righteous God? But God knows. I mean, the Scripture is full of examples of God's forgiveness and His mercy. Well, you don't need mercy if you're perfect. You don't need forgiveness if you do everything right. And I think that flies in the face of the teaching in some places that says that you're going to reach a degree of moral perfection in this life where you don't sin anymore in the flesh. That's taught today, brothers and sisters, in some places. So he considered me faithful. So the point is, remember that Christ sees you as you will be, not as you are. In other words, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Now, I like to use that when people say, well, I'll come to church, but I need to do a couple things first. I need to straighten this out and get this straight and do this and clean my life up. And it's like, no, you don't have to do all that. That's not the expectation. In the old hymn I remember from my Baptist days, come just as you are. Come just as you are. That's what Christ is asking you to do. Just lay down your life where you're at right now, and He'll clean it all up. That's what forgiveness is about. So He is faithful. He considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though, and this makes my point, even though, verse 13, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. That was Paul's testimony, wasn't it? Paul, do you understand that Paul destroyed families? Paul was directly responsible for people being murdered. Paul was directly responsible for marriages being split apart, businesses and lives being ruined. Paul was responsible for that. And he never forgot that. And here's another example in the Scriptures. He considered me faithful even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Now, I want to ask you something. If God can forgive that, He can forgive you. Yet, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. The word there is super, super abundant. And that means that His grace far surpasses any of your sin. There's never a sin, brothers and sisters, that His grace does not surpass. It was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Now that means that we don't have to look anyplace else. Just look to Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, what does that say to us? Well, first of all, for all you theologians, that speaks of Christ's preexistence. So when you run into the cults that say, well, Christ wasn't really God, He became a God. There's people that say that? Yes. Right here in this city. They knock on your door often. They wear white shirts and black ties. They have little lapel buttons that says Elder So-and-so. And some others. But notice that it says Christ came into the world. That speaks of His preexistence. He was Christ before He came here. He was the Son. Now, He's going to refer to Christ in our scriptures here as a man, and that is to refute false teaching as well, but we'll move on. So he came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to have pastors build large campuses. Jesus didn't come into the world so that pastors could have large mansions and drive Mercedes-Benzes. Even though if you want to give me one, I wouldn't turn it down. But sometimes we take God's blessings and we become hoarders. Yeah, I'll make the analogy. I thought a second about not, because I don't want to get you distracted. Anybody ever seen that show on TV called Hoarders? The TLC channel or one of the... Does that not just turn your stomach? And I don't mean, no, I'm talking about you feel sick for those people because they're in bondage. And I can't help but think that every time I see that show. In fact, I can't hardly stand to watch it anymore because my heart cries out for them. Because their worth, their life, it's all tied up into their stuff. I mean garbage. They can't let go of it. And I think sometimes we get like that with our stuff. With our iPhones and our iPads and our cars and our homes and our wardrobes and our... You fill in the blank. You know what I'm talking about. And that stuff becomes a distraction and it gets in the way. And we spend so much energy and so much resources doing that. I had a conversation Friday with some folks. And Kathy and I have been talking about this for quite some time now, but there's an amazing principle that you need to understand. The more you give away, the more God will give to you. It's a fact. Kathy and I are living in those days right now. We keep giving away and we keep paying things for people. And guess what? We're just watching our bank account go like this. It's an amazing principle. So Christ came into the world to save sinners. He gives you stuff. He gives you resources so that you can join that work. I don't want to go off in this direction either, but America, in my opinion, is under judgment because we have not taken to heart the fact that Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to give Christians this wonderful life where we've surrounded by all this stuff that gets in the way of seeing the work that God wants us to be involved in. And I'm not saying you can't have stuff. So if you're guilty, you do take that up with the Lord. If you're feeling guilt, oh, I can't believe he's talking about you, you move on. Listen, take it up with the Lord. What I'm saying is, if that stuff that you're accumulating is keeping you from doing the will of the Lord, and you know what it is, whatever it is, he's speaking to you, not to me. I'm just teaching the word. If there's application in your life, and it may not even be for any of you here, it may be for somebody that's watching this morning, or that's going to hear it on the radio in the coming days. Christ came to save sinners, brothers and sisters. That's why I'm glad we're small. Now, we've got room for growth, and we've got a balcony. We could go to two services, if that's what he wants. But I also know with large congregations, you get folks with some strange ideas. And then before too much time would pass by, they'd be bumping heads with the pastor. And then they'd be gone. We've seen that, haven't we? Folks come in with an idea of what Christianity should be, what it should look like, and what the church should be. No, the church needs to be lean and mobile, flexible. If you get so burdened down, listen, and I pray God will never do this. If you get so burdened down by debt that you always got to have the Marty Feldman eyes, you know. Well, you older folks know what I'm talking about. You got one eye over here looking at the budget, you know. One eye's over here watching, okay, I got to be careful what I say because I don't want to chase anybody off because they'll take their checkbook with them. And, you know, we got a budget, we got them because we got these bills, and it's like, no, 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 no. I'd rather go week to week praying for the resources to pay our heat than to ever get into a situation like that. That is a distraction. So our message, because Christ came into the world to save sinners, what is our message? Christ came to save you, to give you new life, if you will confess Him as Savior and Lord. It's not, Jesus will make your life all better. That's not the gospel. So He came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. That was Paul's estimation of himself. Paul was one of those guys that taught over and over and over again, don't get haughty. Don't get to thinking that you're God's answer to whatever. Because God can raise up what? He can raise up children, disciples, believers out of what? Stones. And Paul says, though, notice 16, that's one of those words. He likes using but a lot, and in this sense he uses yet. Same thing. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy. For what reason? Because he recognized who he was. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need you to forgive me and cleanse me. See, that's when you're going to find God's mercy, when you confess your sins. You're not going to find God's mercy. And even after you're a believer, you're not going to find reconciliation and forgiveness when you strut around and say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I ain't got nothing to apologize about. Really? Would you just keep on being hard-headed about it and then find out where that gets you? Because I'm telling you, if you're a believer, you will bow the knee and you will ask for forgiveness and reconciliation at some point. Now, the time that it takes and the heartache that you endure to get there, that's up to you. But take it from one who has lots of experience in that area. Don't go down that road. You're just going to circle back and do what he asked you to do in the first place. So for this reason, I found mercy so that in me as the foremost sinner, you can put that in parentheses, that's what he means, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. How many of you have had the experience after you got saved and you bumped into somebody that you knew from school or from your pre-Christ days and they look at you and they go, you're a Christian? Because you know what they're thinking. I remember when you did this or, you know. And it's like, yes, isn't it glorious? Christ can save even somebody like me. There is hope abounding if he can save somebody like me. Because as I'm fond of telling you, I could tell you stories about my pre-Christ days that make your hair stand on end. But not today. Now, verse 17, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now see, that's the hard attitude. When we recognize where God has brought us from, all that's left is to praise His name. When we understand what God's delivered us from, that's just a hallelujah moment. This command, verse 18, I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. Now, you can read about that in chapter 4, and we'll get there in a week or so. But there are prophecies made about Timothy, about how the Lord would use him, and they were made by the laying on of hands, previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. So by these prophecies that were made about you, remember and treasure that you've been called and gifted. All of you, brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He called you by name. Well, we sang about that, didn't we? He called you into a personal relationship with Him by name. Keeping faith, verse 19, and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Now, he's talking about the false teachers again. And really the point that he's making here is that when you reject the leading of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, you're going to have a train wreck. Or he uses shipwreck here, but you're headed for disaster. The Holy Spirit is leading you in a certain direction and you're going the opposite direction, only bad things are going to happen. Here's a news flash. Your plan is not better than God's plan. Now, I know we think sometimes, but Lord, can I tweak that a little bit? Because I think if we just do this right here, stop. I think that's part of the human condition, though, isn't it? We're always, you know, we're trying to be the Tim Allen, you know. We're going to super improve it. No, just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Understand and obey God's Word. Now, Paul had some folks in mind when he made this statement that if you disregard faith, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which produces a good conscience in verse 19, that that's going to shipwreck your faith. He had a couple guys in mind, and he names them here in verse 20. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, so much for all those folks that says, well, you really shouldn't name names. Why not? Paul did it all the time. In fact, it'd be, and I've used this illustration before, not naming names when you know somebody is a false teacher, a heretic, or a blasphemer, and yet they're masquerading as a sheep, for you not to say anything about that, I believe is a sin on your behalf. It'd be like me putting up here several glasses of water and putting in various amounts of cyanide. And here's 4 drops and 3 drops and 2 and 1. And just inviting you to have a drink. Well, it won't hurt you because this glass right here has only got 1 drop of cyanide. So, you know. Now, the 2 may kill you. I'm not sure. But, and we're not going to tell you that the water's poisoned? Doesn't make sense to me. And in fact, it flies in the face of Scripture. Notice what Paul says here. He says, whom I have handed over to Satan. What does that mean? Well, he's handed them over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. So they're false teachers, and what they're teaching is actually blasphemy. And Paul says that they were booted out of the church. He's talking about them being excommunicated here. He's talking about this within the context of church discipline. He talked about this to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, I think. He talked about this, Jesus talked about in Matthew 18. What is the end result of somebody who will not listen? You boot them out of the church. He's talking about excommunicated. And so in this sense, when you're excommunicated or disfellowshipped or booted out of the church or whatever, however you want to call it, you're what? You're in the domain of the enemy. And so Paul is saying, I've handed them over so that they'll be taught not to blaspheme. So Paul says there is a goal in mind, and that is that they'll learn the error of their ways. They'll be taught not to blaspheme. First of all, then, chapter 2, you didn't think we were going to get there, did you? First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now, entreaties has to do with earnestness, praying earnestly. An example would be Luke chapter 18, where the woman kept coming before the judge. And the judge says, you know what, I'm going to grant your petition just so you'll get out of my hair. Prayers is more of a general word that covers all forms of communication with the Lord. Petitions, requests, confident requests, knowing that the Lord's going to... Can you actually pray for something knowing that the Lord is going to answer that prayer? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I'm not talking about, well, good, I'm going to pray for a red Mercedes-Benz to show up in my driveway later today. That's not what I'm talking about. You can pray confidently, petition the Lord with your requests when your will lines up with His will. When you're praying the will of the Father and you know what the Father's will is in a situation, you can pray that. Thanksgivings, that's gratitude. Notice that it says, pray this way, entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgivings be made on the behalf of your brethren only. All men. All men. We pray for everyone, brothers and sisters. Who does everyone include? Everyone. How about that jerk at work that just drives you crazy to see him breathing air? Oh, you got to prove to me it says that in here. Well, it does. All. All men. For kings and all who are in authority. Yes. Pray for our congressmen, our state-level representatives, our national-level representatives, our president. Pray for these people. Now listen, you're going to pray for all people differently, though. And I'm not talking about, oh, I'm praying a bolt of lightning will come out of the sky. That's not what I mean. No. Well, what I'm saying is, for some folks, you'll pray in thanksgiving for them. And other folks, you're going to pray a petition prayer. Or you're going to pray earnestly that they'll be saved. I pray for the leaders, our national leaders all the time, that God will cause them to be born again. And we got some national leaders that claim to be Christians, and I can tell you something, they're not. Well, really, how can you know that? You shall know them by their fruits. The blasphemous things that come out of their mouths, the blasphemous laws that they support and ram down our throats, and then they want to smile and say, but I'm one of you. No, you're not. But I'm praying for you that God will change your heart. See, people aren't our enemies. Politics attempts to make people our enemies. See, that's the subtle diversion. Politics tries to turn people against each other, and it works very efficiently. But we need to see past that and to understand that those people just need to be born again. Now, does that mean that we should back off of expressing our viewpoint? Absolutely not, and you know I don't. I express my viewpoint to our politicians all the time. They probably know me on a first-name basis. Oh, here's another letter or email from this knucklehead.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast
at www.ccclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word Radio Ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@CCLOhio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.